So this bloke with the dog didn't have a name. He reckoned they stopped you from being whoever you wanted to be. And once he'd explained it to me, I could sort of see what he meant. Say you're Tony or Joanna. Well, you were Tony or Joanna yesterday and you'll be Tony or Joanna tomorrow. So you're fucked, really. People will always be able to say things like, oh, that's so typical of Joanna. But this geezer, he could be like 100 different people all in one day. He told me to call him whatever came into my head. So at first he was dog because of the dog, and then he was no dog because we went for a drink in a pub and he left the dog outside. And his point is we can all be dogs and no dogs in a single day. Dad, for example, could be not dad when he's at work because when he's at work, he's not dad. If you think about it hard, it makes sense. No dog took me back to his place after we'd gone for a drink. He lived in a shop round the back of Rotherhithe Station. It used to be like an old-fashioned corner shop, so there were shelves and counters and there was a big window, which he kept covered with a sheet. Shops are actually quite comfortable. You could put your clothes up on the shelves, put your telly on the counter, put your mattress on the floor and you're away. And shops have toilets and water, although they don't have baths or showers. When we got there, we had sex straight off to get it out of the way. I'd only had sex with Chaz before, and that wasn't any good, but it was all right with no dog. With Chaz, his bits didn't really work and my bits didn't really work, so it was all a bit of an effort. No dog's bits work fine, and so mine did too, and it's much easier to see why anyone would want to do it again. People go on about the first time being important, but it's the second time that really matters. Well, the second person, anyway. After we'd finished, we lay on his mattress and we started to talk. And I ended up telling him about Jen and Topper's house and the others. And then he goes, oh, I'm always trying to top myself. And I was like, well, you can't be much good at it. And he went, that's not the idea, though, is it? He said that the idea was to, like, constantly offer yourself up to the pagan gods of life and death. And if the god of life wanted you, then you lived. And if the god of death wanted you, you didn't. So he reckoned that on New Year's Eve, I'd been chosen by the god of life, and that's why I never jumped. And I was like, I never jump because people sat on my head. And he explained that the god of life was speaking through these people, and that made perfect sense to me. Because why else would they have bothered, unless they were like being guided by invisible forces? When I went home, Mum and Dad wanted to speak to me. Mum made me a cup of tea and sat me down at the kitchen table. And then she said that she wanted to apologise to me about the earrings and that she knew who'd pinched them. So I went, who? And she goes, Jen. And she went off on one about how Maureen had pointed out something that was actually blindingly obvious. They were Jen's favourite earrings, and if they'd gone and nothing else had, then that couldn't be a coincidence. At first, I couldn't see what difference it made, because Jen still wasn't around. But when I saw what difference it made to her, I could see it didn't matter. All that mattered was she wanted to be nicer to me. And I had, like, the wiseness to accept it and not tell her it was stupid or pointless.